Hello, and welcome to Grace Unscripted, where we share stories of the people in and around Grace Church without any script, just real, raw conversations about life change through Jesus. I'm your host, Audrey Wallace, and today's guest is Holly Carroll. I always love an episode where I get to know a friend more deeply, and I loved hearing Holly's spirit. She is such a spirit-led person. She is so intentional in everything she does, and that doesn't mean that her life has been perfect or easy. She shares a lot of darkness, but she also shares the light that God has given her and just her little steps of obedience, giving the space for God to meet her there, to transform things that could be fearful, terrible, and turning them into joy. I loved hearing the ways that God has worked in her life. Good morning. How are you today?
Not gonna lie. It's a little early for my brain to work.
Okay, well, we've got coffee and plenty of time, so
Good. We'll
do this together. Well, I'm very excited to have you here because It's sometimes when you have, like, a person you consider a friend, and then you're like, wow, do I even know her?
Right, okay.
What's her story? And sometimes maybe people assume things that people know about them that they really don't. So let's dig in.
That's a good point.
So I don't even know. Did you grow up around here?
I did, yeah. I've never moved away. Yep. Grew up in Firestone Park.
Okay.
Yeah. And my parents lived there up until about maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, wow. Like your childhood home?
Yeah.
So like going home was going home for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is a treasure in my mind.
It really is. Yeah. I love that I have a lot of family in Akron. And I love when you like live in the same place your whole life. Yeah. Like you constantly run into people and have these connections and like people know my last name, and it's really cool. They know my dad, you know?
That feels rare.
It does.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm going to continue to hear about that for you as we chat, too, because, like, yeah, I definitely don't have that. I don't, like, you know, have the Cheers effect when I walk into the grocery store. Like, you know, people just bump into people.
Yeah, it's
I'm
not
sure
that
there's
intense,
pros and cons.
But, right. True.
Okay, so Firestone Park. So what school system were you in as a kid?
I was homeschooled.
What?
Does that explain a lot?
If I knew that, I forgot it. Okay, homeschooled, siblings, like a whole house.
Both,
did you have the big van and family field trips
kind
and
of.
Stuff?
Yeah, a little bit.
Really? Tell me everything.
Oh, gosh. So I have an older brother who's 5 years older, 4 and a half, and then a younger brother who's 9 years younger.
Okay.
And, yeah, none of us ever went to, like, public school. We went to a private school for a little while, kind of in and out in there, and my mom taught there. So we had, like, a little community, and we went to the same church, and that's kind of, like my church upbringing. And, yeah, I mean, we were kind of, like, we were so spaced out that it didn't feel like we had, you know, we weren't, like, near the same grade or anything.
Right,
but my older brother and I were and still are super close, my little brother, too.
That's awesome.
But, it was just kind of like, I don't really know any different.
Right.
So it was my normal. Yeah. And, like, as I get older, I realize, like, how much of a weirdo I am.
Best kind of weirdo,
it seems. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I still, like, had friends with church and, like, gymnastics and neighborhood and stuff like that.
I think that's what's different. My husband, so Gary, was homeschooled as well. And
I
know, I feel like this is the secret society. When people know,
really?
They, like, make eye contact, and they're like, I know.
Like,
I watch
we can
it.
Spot it in each other.
I watch it happen. But he said the same thing, where I've watched that even, that, like, his church class was his class, and he still went to homecoming or to prom.
Yeah.
Like, there was still interactions like that, the socialization and everything that people talk about. But so homeschooled, and you're in between these brothers, only girl, but involved in your church. So talk about what that was like. So it sounds like you had a faith-based home.
Yeah. My parents are wonderful. I think about all the time how, like, I was just talking about this last night with my neighborhood Bible study, but I think about, like, why was I so lucky to grow up with nice parents who protected me, who, like, a childhood free of abuse. Like, the older I get and the more, like, pain I see in the world, the more I realize that it is such a gift. And I feel, like, unworthy of that, honestly. Like, if we have memory of earth when we get to heaven, I think that's going to be what I ask God. Like, why me? Why was I so lucky? You know what I mean? It seems so unfair. My husband is his job is he sees a lot of really hard things.
Okay.
And so I hear stories of, like, children who are just not treated very nicely, and it's so hard to hear.
Yeah.
And he's amazing. I don't know how he does it. He's very good at, like, separating it, and he has, like, such a heart for these people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's incredible. But
so you still have a protector. You still have that environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we jumped a little bit of years there.
We did.
So childhood free of abuse is such a great gift, which is amazing. And even, and I don't know what this looked like for you, but even like the pressures of a public school and the bullying and the gossip and all of that stuff, it sounds like you were sort of free from. I'm sure it's not a life of
I mean, total freedom, it wasn't perfect, of course.
Right. Like but like the baggage that could come into adulthood, it sounds like, is pretty light for you.
Yeah. I mean, okay, well, if only.
Yeah.
So on the other side of that, I guess now that I'm thinking about it, I also didn't really have like red flags to look for, because no one ever like yelled at me in my house. Like there was never any violence. So I got married at 19. I got engaged at 17.
Okay.
And
neighborhood person,
church
person?
A friend of a friend. Friend of a church friend.
Okay.
Yeah, someone I'm still, like, friends with.
Mm-hmm.
And then didn't go so well. And I feel like I am really jumping ahead. So let me back up a little bit.
Okay, let's do that.
So you asked about church. It was, like, a little bit of a legalistic environment. I don't want to, like... completely throw shade to those people, because I feel like they probably were very well-intentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But it did mark me a little bit and kind of, like, turn me away.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents, I remember them telling me later that they had to get me out of there, basically, because they thought I was going to just, like, end up walking away from the faith, because it was, like,
they
really hard
it.
On me. Yeah.
They were paying attention.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, great, great people, great parents.
Mm-hmm.
So we landed at Grace when I was about 18, 19.
This Grace?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, so I've been here a long time.
Yeah.
If you want to do the math, it's been about 20 years.
Mm.
Yeah. Not to age myself. But my older brother started coming here to New Perspective, which is now Collective, and got our whole family on board. So we all started coming here, like parents, siblings, spouses, everyone.
Wow, cool.
For a little while. And then, yeah, so I feel like I found my home. Like, this place just feels so relatable and loving and authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, like, I am not a person who likes change. But then I think about Grace, and, like, we change. Like, Grace, that's what we're known for, is, like, changing and keeping up with the time.
Adapting,
so,
yeah.
I don't know if I can really say that, but it feels the same to me.
Because it's natural. It is, like,
it's like evolution.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it feels like a small church to me, because I've been here so long. So it doesn't really feel intimidating.
I wish everyone who comes through these doors could feel that way.
I
feel that too. But
yeah,
but we try so hard.
How long have you been here now?
2008, I think. So in that range, like
17 years.
Yeah, 18.
Yeah,
like
isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And Jeff just talked about that, like that history, the shared history.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I both have been on staff at some point, so we've been in
volunteer for me. But yeah.
Oh, really? I thought you were with First Impressions.
Volunteer. Yeah.
Oh my lord, girl.
That was a long time ago.
I'm
back there now.
Oh,
yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, cheers to that. Yeah. Anyways, but like being in that inside circle as well, and just being in that interwoven part of it really helps too.
Like,
so I think serving clearly gives that feeling of intimacy. Big church feels small. It can. Yeah. So you came, you said you were 18 or 19, but you also had said you got engaged at 17. Mm-hmm. So you were with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So he was around for a little while here. Mm-hmm. We got married at 19. I had my daughter at 21.
Okay.
And that ended because this might be really hard for some people to hear. So trigger alert.
Sure.
But he used to hurt me. So for a while, and I've asked my daughter if I could share this, and she's okay with it. But when I was pregnant, it was, like, getting worse. And I did a lot of research, and I found out that pregnant women are actually more apt to get abused, which is just
Whoa.
I mean, this was a long time ago. I don't know if the information out there is current, but yeah, it was a really, really dark time, and I was so sad. And I, when she was born, it was like a cycle, right? So like things would be good for a while, and then we would have a blow up, and then like something, like we would have like an episode, and then he would apologize and feel really bad, and then buy me flowers, and like it was a cycle, and then slowly it would get worse. And and I know he carries a ton of pain too, and I haven't spoken to him in years, but I've totally forgiven him 100%. But so when my daughter was 7 weeks old was the first time that he like hurt me after she was born.
Okay.
And I thank God for giving me, I don't know what, something.
Yeah.
My brother, my parents, like, got me out of there. And we moved in with my mom, and we, like, he and I tried to work it out. He went through life skills with Pastor Bob, and that was working for a while. And then eventually, I think, like, something evil just took over and got a hold of him, and we ended up getting a divorce.
Wow.
And during that time, I just had, like, such tunnel vision for being a mom. Like, she was the only thing that mattered. I was not going to grow up in a house, like, let her grow up in a house where dad hurts mom. Like, no chance.
Yeah.
You know? And so, thankfully, I had a great support system that I could fall back on, because that would have been so much harder. And, yeah, I mean, it was rough. I was a single mom for about 10 years. And it was a really sweet time, too, because, man, I just love that girl.
Oh, yeah, I can feel that from everything I know about you.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, all the things you could say about motherhood. Like, but for us, it was different because, like, I had to really fight for her. And so it just reminded me constantly of, like, why? Why am I doing this? Like, why is this so important? Like, she is just the only thing that matters. You know, like, at that time, that was the... I didn't care about anything else. Like, I almost, like, would, I would hurt people to walk, you know, to
protect.
Didn't matter. Yeah.
I mean, that feels like Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Like, he would do anything for his child.
Yeah. Yeah. I really believe that that's why God gave us the parent-child relationship, so that we could catch a glimpse of how much he loves us. Just a glimpse of it.
I just, like, want to rest in that first.
I know. Second, like, you know? How much you love your kids, could you even imagine?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool. I thought I'd be the one crying.
That's so powerful, because, like, you said something shifted when she was born, and it was like, not even about you anymore. It was about another, and the way that, like, there's just a new way to see everything.
Yeah.
And like, you, I mean, you, spiritual warfare is real.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was darkness and there's light.
Yep.
And that light got pretty hot, you know, like it just covered the darkness. And thankfully, like you said, that support system that gave you so many gifts in your childhood was still right there. That's amazing, because there's so many great support systems that still those things can remain hidden from. And, like, they can't, they don't even see it because of the way that darkness is sneaky and deceitful. So I'm, like, so sad but also so happy for you, you know what I mean? As I hear that, I did not know those things.
And like I said, before she was born, I mean, there was no chance I should have stayed there. Like, it was not safe, but he was my buddy. Like, I loved him so much. We were, I just really wanted it to work. Like, divorce wasn't a thing, you know? And so because of that, because of, like, how much I loved him and liked him, it had to be her. Like, I feel like God sent her to this earth to save me, which is crazy to think about.
Then your relationship with her, like, that absolute.
Oh, man. I go to war over her.
Yeah. One time I was talking to my son, and I was like, you know, I made you. Like, and he goes, no, I made you. When I was born, I made you a mommy.
Wow.
And I was like.
The wisdom.
Yeah. And he was like four. Oh, something. I was very young. And it was like this whole, like, I made you made me made right. You made you, like this
true.
Intertwined experience of a parent and, yeah. and their child when there is that, you know, that affection and that deepness.
Yeah. yeah. Ugh, what a wow. gift.
Okay. So you're in your early 20s mm-hmm. and you're with this daughter that you love mm-hmm. so deeply, with your parents that you love so deeply, but having some grief and loss yeah. and like transition. What do you want to share about that?
Yeah. Like I said, it was hard. It was also really sweet. I think I'll always have like a good decade of wonderful memories of just her and I.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so if I think about what God was doing during those years, I think about the men, like the godly, brotherly men that he sent into my life,
mm-hmm.
not just my own brothers, not mm-hmm. just my own parents, but like random friends or like spouses of my girlfriends who did very like almost like small detail things for me and for us,
mm-hmm.
like for my house, for my car. I feel like God filled those gaps mm-hmm. like collectively with a bunch of people. Like mm-hmm. the role that I should have had in my household mm-hmm. was filled
mm-hmm.
through, you know, 20 different godly men. Mm-hmm. Or even if they weren't and they didn't know that God was using them.
Yeah.
Just like the way we landed in Fairlawn, she went to a really good school. Like God put these people in our path to like, it was like cushions we were stepping on each step of the way. And we couldn't see the next one, but yeah. like
you had faith they were there because yeah. you're looking at a trail of them behind you.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And yeah. you also, okay, you said you moved to Fairlawn, so now mm-hmm. you're sustaining a household mm-hmm. and all that as well. Like how did that look for you as you're trying to figure out, you know, I don't know if you had dreams of homeschooling and being a housewife or anything like that initially, but you, that obviously shifted. What was that like
yeah.
for you?
Yeah. I never wanted to homeschool, but I did imagine, you know, like the dad being around, like mm-hmm. for the whole family unit to be there. Yeah, I don't know. I've always been like sort of feisty where like if there's like a challenge in front of me, I'm going to like figure it out, like watch me, like mm-hmm. watch me do this, you know, mm-hmm. and like don't get me wrong, I was for sure having meltdowns in the background and yeah. I had like a lot of people who were helping me through that, but yeah, I mean, I kind of just like fell into this company that I have and like that got rolling and the neighborhood we were in was a great little landing place to raise a kid and
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really remember your question, but
just thinking about how you adapted, which is what you said, mm-hmm, like okay. you're that, like the feistiness and the fight,
mm-hmm.
like you had for her, mm-hmm. and like you have now for yeah. sustaining your family at that point, mm-hmm. which was the two of you,
yeah.
and then you said you used the word fell into this company mm-hmm. that you started, but I have a right. feeling there was a lot more effort than just falling into.
I mean, you'd be surprised. Not at first. There
really?
Was, I mean, I had to decide to do it. Yeah, but like. One of my cousins was like, hey, do you want to do this for me? I have this one client. Do you want it? And I was like, yeah, okay, I guess. And that lady taught me so much, and mm-hmm. she's no longer with us, but mm-hmm. she was just, like, so nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I had no idea what I was doing, but she taught me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, told her friends, and now, like, mm-hmm. it's this really cool thing that I get to manage.
Yeah.
You know, 10 years is a long time. A lot happened in that time.
Yeah.
And so early 20s for me, I was not exactly, like, living for the Lord. Like, I was always a believer. I never doubted my faith at all. But mm-hmm. for sure, I was making some bad choices. Mm-hmm. And, like, just, like, running around with the wrong crowd. I was drinking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time my daughter would leave to go with her dad,
mm-hmm.
I was just, like, I couldn't handle it. So instead of running mm-hmm. to Jesus and, like, going to Bible study, I was, like, taking shots, you know,
yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
going out with my friends and trying to figure out, like, where the next party was.
Yeah.
Thankfully, God protected me from drugs and, like, mm-hmm. everything else that was out there under my nose, and I was just kind of, like, so naive and oblivious that mm-hmm. I didn't know what was going on, but
mm-hmm.
never in my house, of course, but mm-hmm. just when I would be, like, out and about mm-hmm. in the, you know, downtown Akron scene.
Oh, yeah. Lux.
Oh, yeah.
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 Back in the day, throw it back. We were probably there at the same time probably. At some point.
Man. And there was a period of time of about 5 or 6 years that we were, like, battling in court for my daughter.
Oh, gosh.
And I've never been closer to God. Like, you will never pray harder than when you have to, like, go and fight for the well-being of your child mm-hmm. and, like, the scary unknown, like, not knowing the outcome of what that will be and if she's going to be safe. Mm-hmm. So this went on for years, and there was a lot of complex details that went into mm-hmm. that. But ultimately, when she was six, I remember opening a letter from my lawyer, and it was telling me that I had won full custody, and, like, our shared parenting plan was terminated, and, like, I fell on my knees. Mm-hmm. I don't ever think about this anymore, but, oh, the relief, the gratefulness, like, God is so faithful. Mm-hmm. And then, like, as, you know, you grow and years go by, like, I cling to that because mm-hmm. there's other hard things that happen in your life. Mm-hmm. And when I am reminded mm-hmm. of that and how faithful God was mm-hmm. and how he has her. So she's 18, mm-hmm. okay? If she's not mine, she mm-hmm. belongs to him. I get to, like, be her mom, mm-hmm. but she's not mine. Mm-hmm. And so if God took care of her when she was a baby and two and six, he's going to take care of her now. Mm-hmm. And, like, we went through a dark time in the last few years. Now she's doing amazing. Praise mm-hmm. God. She's doing so well. Mm-hmm. But there was a time when, and again, I've asked her if I can share a little mm-hmm. bit, so she knows this is coming, but there was, like, a really hard day. I remember I was driving her to school. And on my way back, I was praying the whole time. And she goes to school about 25 minutes from our house. So it's, like, a good chunk of time to mm-hmm. pray. And there was this little spot on the road where you can, like, get out and observe birds.
Yes. I drive past yeah, it every day,
right,
too.
I'm sure you do. And it was winter. Okay, so there were no birds. But I got out of the car, and I was like, God, will you please, please just show me, like, speak to me. I need you so much. Will you please just, like, tell me something? Like, show me, you know? So I get out of the car, and God works in weird ways. He just, like, pointed out a spot to me in the broken winter, like, broken sticks on the ground, and he's like, stand right there. So I walk, it's like 10 feet away, I go and stand right there. And in that moment, two things happened. The first thing, my Apple Watch goes off, okay? It's my mom. Mm-hmm. She's saying to me, pray for your cousin. He's going to court to battle for his daughter who needs, like, protection.
Trigger.
Okay, yeah. Reminder. Like, yeah. Hello, God is faithful. Mm-hmm. Remember that when you went through that? Mm. Okay, the second thing that happened is a bird, not the blue herons that mm-hmm. we see, okay, but another bird flew through the air, and I was instantly reminded of the verse that God says, if I'm going to take care of these birds, how much more am I going to take care of you? Mm-hmm. Those two things happened in that instant that I stepped in that spot that he told me to stand.
Yeah,
he did. And that. I'm like, okay, all right, cool, got it.
Yeah.
You got this.
I mean, it sounds like David, like, you think about the times that he said, remember when you split the water, remember the clouds, remember the sun, remember the manna. Like, I remember this. He'll cry out in agony.
Yeah.
And then he'll say, and I remember your faithfulness. Or, I remember the time that you protected me from my enemy, the time that you saved me when I was running, and now I stand faithfully under your wing. Mm-hmm. He says that a lot. Like, I am under your wings. Same sentiment that we hear in the gospel as well of God, you know, providing for the flowers, for the birds.
Yeah.
How much more for a child, like you're saying. Like, I could feed birds and I could fertilize flowers, but how much more for my own child? And that's that same, like, vision, that glimpse of heaven, that glimpse of God's care and love for us that we can experience.
So cool.
Man, so you stepped into that spot. Those things happen. And then peace, then tears, then...
Like, yeah, a couple more years still. And I don't think our stories are ever really over. Like, I never, like, sit down on the couch and I'm like, all right, I've arrived. Like, my whole family's going to be just fine forever. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we're not really promised that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it was a couple more years of, like, really dark times, really, really hard times. Mm. And I'll share something else that maybe my lovely child doesn't know yet. But So There was like a weekend a few months, maybe almost a year ago. It was like a really, really hard time. It was a, you know, just like rough day. And it was bedtime. She went to bed. She's my oldest of four. So she was sleeping. I walked to her door. It was closed. I walked to the door, put my hands on her door, and I was just like, God, like, let me pray for you. Like, I'm just going to pray over this girl. And he said, no, you need to get on your knees. Mm-hmm. So I got on my knees, and I was touching her door and praying. And I should have been scared, and I should have been worried, but I had joy. Mm. And since then, I've been praying over her door with my hands on it, on my knees every night.
Oh my gosh.
And sometimes I put my head forward and my hair clip like hits the door and I'm afraid it's going to wake her
up. She's like, Mom, are you there?
Yeah, but I either do that or I go in there and put my hands on her and pray. And like transformation in a very short time has happened. And I'm not saying it's like that's the only reason. Like this girl has really solid friends that are like praying with her, doing Bible studies with her.
Mm-hmm.
And now she comes home excited about the Bible
and
like telling me what her favorite verses are. And like, it is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my whole life. Because like, I think there's this meme going around right now that says like, do you know why I pray for you so much? Do you know why I do these things for you? Because you're the only thing I can take to heaven with me.
Whoa.
Right? Like,
yeah.
That is literally the only thing I care about is my kids, anyone like that's behind me, my niece and nephews, my little brother, my like anyone who's like following behind me, that is why I'm on this earth. I don't care about anything else. Everything else can burn.
And will.
I will.
Yeah. Wow. I see again like the light overtaking darkness.
Yeah.
Like you said, you could have feared, you could have run, you could have walked away from that that call to kneel even, you know. I'm hearing obedience for you. Like He asked you to step into this spot. Obedience in the little things. He asked you to kneel.
Yeah.
And you know your shepherd's voice, which is important and our part of the job, right? To be enough in tune with it that we can recognize that voice versus so many other voices that are calling at us. You talked about a meme. Like, how many memes out there are trying to draw us away?
Gosh, I know.
But we can at least see through that noise if we're in tune, if we're in our own Bible, in our own relationships that are going to draw us to that and not draw us to bitterness, resentment, anger, you know, revenge that so many people in this world might guide us toward. So yeah, I love just hearing those little glimpses of obedience that lead to so much goodness. You said like this moment that you could have been afraid, but you had joy.
It
wasn't even
sense.
That you had peace or had not like lack of fear. It's that you had joy.
Crazy.
It seems unexplainable.
It doesn't make sense.
Kind
of funny how that works.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah.
So you mentioned four kids.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to share more about that part of your life?
Yeah. So during my 20s, I started going to this gym down the street. And because they had childcare, it was the only one in the town that I could find that was really cheap. I remember it was like $15 a month or something crazy. So went to that gym for like 3 or 4 years. And I met this guy. And he had a daughter who was also in childcare. They were in the same school, same grade. And took us a minute to, like, even start, like, becoming friends. Because I was very, like, arm's length people. Like, love was a trigger for me. I used to call it the six-week curse. I could not date anyone for longer than 6 weeks. I would freak out, push them away. It was like, you want to meet my daughter? Are you insane? Are you in my kitchen? Are you crazy? Like, I was probably not nice, you know? Like, really, really, like, would panic. And so that's probably why it took me a little while to warm up to this guy. And, I mean, he was, like, by no means, like, sitting there waiting for me. Like, he was living his life, okay? But one day, I just remember, like, he had given me his number. I threw it away, but I memorized it, okay?
What?
Because, you know, nobody puts their number on my windshield. Like, what do you? Who do you think you are, right?
But I memorized
just, like,
it.
Take
I'm
a
so
quick
impressed.
Mental picture of this phone number just in case. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So I still have it memorized. But so eventually we started texting and then talking on the phone. And then a few more months went by. And one day, I think he came over to like I don't know, my back door had, like, blown open while I wasn't home, and it freaked me out. And I was like, can you come over and just, like, look at – and it was daytime. She's like, yeah, I'll be right over. So that day, we just hung out every day since then. Like, that was 10 years ago, and we just, like, hung out every day. And it was like God, like, clicked it. It was, like, immediate. And I remember we would look at each other, and we were just, like, oogly and, like, so cheesy and, you know, all the things you want to have in the beginning, you know, it was great. But we would look at each other and be like, our families are going to really, like, freak out because this is happening so fast. And he and I, like, knew that this was it. But, like, especially with my history and my story and my protective family and, like, my daughter, I knew it was going to take some time. But I would have married him in a week.
Wow.
Like,
affirmation that's, like, I know. Yeah. Can give you.
But the 6-week mark, I was, like, kind of, like, waiting to get there. I was like, okay, are we going to be all right? Like, and I honestly still had little freakouts. Like, he was getting too close. Okay, do I need to back away? But, like, I still knew. I was just, like, my internal, like, triggers and traumas were, like, trying to sabotage things for me.
Oof, yeah, that warfare.
Yeah. So out of that relationship, we did get married about 11 months later, and I got a bonus daughter who is just, like, such a gift. Yeah, I just love her so much. I tell her that she is, like, my three kids that I gave birth to. Like, of course I get to mother them. Like, they are my gifts from God. Like, what an honor. But her, I didn't earn. Like, I just, like, get to be a part of her life. It's like a present, you know?
Wow.
She's really sweet.
That is a, I mean, the title stepmoms, that is, like, the unusual and wonderful way to experience that, because that's not what I always hear.
Yeah.
When I hear things like that, it can be hard. That's amazing.
I mean, yeah, it took us a minute, and we had our moments for sure. But, and our daughters are, I feel like they're decent friends. They grew up together. You know, they were, like, 7 and 8 when we got together. So they have their moments, but... But, yeah, they're good friends, and they love each other, and it's been cool to watch them.
So you guys entered into that marriage with the two daughters, like, less than a year, and, you know, blended families.
Not for the faint of heart.
right.
Yeah.
Small plug here for the blended family class that is starting up.
Yeah, we took that.
Really?
We did.
Well, we're rebooting it here soon. A family here at Grace is going to be starting that up, like,
so
you know,
cool.
This fall. So if anybody's listening to this and scratching their heads on how to have a blended family the way Holly's describing it.
Well, if they need a coffee date, please call me.
Real. Absolutely.
That's... Yeah, I think we took that class before we were even, we might have been engaged, but because we knew, we were like, let's just, it's available, let's just take this class, it was helpful.
So he walked into this relationship with his own faith as well, and...
Yeah, he was raised Catholic, and always kind of like had faith in the background, but I think once he came to Grace, he would tell you that it was the first church that he walked into and sat down and felt like, okay, God is here. Like, this is relatable. This is, like, applicable to my life right now. You know, because Catholicism is a little bit, like, traditional and ceremonial. And, like, I do believe that there are Catholics who love Jesus very much, for sure. So when he, you know, started coming here, I think his faith grew a ton. Yeah.
That's another bond.
I know.
That a husband and wife can have when they grow deeper in Jesus together and, you know, find new depths to that. And if one's leading the other, or not even leading, I would say, just like opening space and opening doors that they wouldn't have maybe seen if it wasn't for them. Like, that's really cool. So you walked into this relationship, jumped right into Grace Church as a family, and and then he was been your protector. And
I went from a family of 2 to a family of 6 in about 3 years.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, so that doesn't sound easy.
Yeah. It was a big change. I think it was probably the hardest on my oldest. Yeah.
I can imagine.
Because I was in La La Land, you know.
Love.
And new love.
Yeah. And probably in her formative teenage.
I know.
Hardest
no
years
big deal.
Anyways.
Right.
You know?
Let's throw a couple more kids at you and see how that goes.
She'll have a story someday.
Yeah.
And she'll share that too.
Yeah.
Because God is faithful, and he's with her, he's with you, he's with your new babes, and your whole unit, and everybody that follows you, as you said, as well. Mm. What else in this new transformed family of six have you seen God show up in?
So in the last year or two, God has opened up my schedule a little bit, where I have a lot of free time. Which has been really new for me. I think I've been home alone for the first time in like 10 years, which I have been craving to be home alone for a very long time.
Yeah.
But, kids are off to school and I like kind of work from home a little bit. So, so he's been opening up my schedule and I am able to not feel overwhelmed for the first time in my adult life that I can remember. So I'm able to say yes to things. Like, I started a neighborhood Bible study. Like, that's been so cool. I'm able to go to, like, another Bible study and go to prayer group. And, like, I'm adding in all these things that are so good that I before would have probably been like, okay, it's too much. Cancel it all.
I can't even breathe at the thought of doing something like that.
Yeah. So, but now I feel like this feels like a natural step. It's a great season. He's been showing me a lot through prayer. And I'll name drop again. So Elizabeth Shetler has taught me a ton about prayer. I love her so much.
She's so wonderful.
And she has, like, counseled me a lot. Mm-hmm. But not even a lot, just a few times. But they were so profound and helpful.
Feels like.
Yeah. So she taught me a lot about prayer. She may not even know this, but it really, like, took root in me and has been something that I crave and something that, like, is so powerful. And, man, I'll just, like, walk through the house and put on, like, when I'm home alone, because I am now sometimes, put on some worship music and I'll get my oil out. But I will literally, like, anoint the doorways of our house and, like, declare any evil presence must leave this house. You are banished in Jesus' name. Like, And it is so real because, like you said, spiritual warfare is out there. We maybe can't see it. If you look hard enough, you can.
Oh, absolutely.
It is so real.
Yes.
That, I mean, if I'm not, like, battling in Jesus' name over my family, like, we have the power of the cross at our fingertips at all times. Why are we not tapping into that
more
often?
And on our tongues.
Often?
And saying those things out loud.
Yep.
And fighting with full authority.
Yeah.
Like you said, the Holy Spirit is within us.
Yeah.
And I have experienced it myself. I have done it myself. Like, it is power.
So powerful.
I fully believe in that. And I love, like, I'm just getting tips from you as well, because these are things that happen in my own life. And to think of that fighting, like, proactively fighting, not just, like, passively, well, this happened, what do I do now? But, like, how do I stop?
Right.
This before it even starts. And I love the anointing of oil. And
dude, it's so real.
Praying on your daughter's door and laying hands on somebody. They don't even need to know it. Maybe you're just, like, hugging your daughter and your hand on her. You take that moment, you know, like, place it on the back of her head and pray for her mind. Like, things like that. Yeah. I absolutely, absolutely love that.
And there's been women in my life throughout the years that have taught me that. And so I would say, like, that's been the biggest gift is being able to, like, be in the room with all of these godly women who are pouring into each other without even knowing sometimes, like, without even realizing it.
Can you share more about that? If somebody's listening and they're like, gosh, I go to this church and I don't feel like I have that. How did you step into those spaces or find those spaces?
Gosh, just being around, just being present, just having conversations and then seeing where those things lead.
It reminds me of, again, in a sermon recently when Jeff shared to stick around or stay or stay around, right? It was about
something
community
like that.
And having a relationship. And in one of the points was stick around, which I thought he was going to say was like, be here for the long haul, you know, don't jump churches. But he meant like stay
like
in
today.
The lobby afterwards or go to the thing, you know, show up to the thing and not just show up, but speak up, be known.
Yeah.
And know somebody, that whole reciprocity to know and be known, like just how you're sharing here today. Now people know you, can reach out to you. Some things like the women's retreat, the Bible studies, things, those spaces that we create that people might say, well, that's not for me. I don't mm-hmm. like that kind of thing. I don't want to sleep in a bunk bed. Like, God has goodness in mm-hmm. those hard spaces. And if you long for it, you just, like, you have to take a step.
Yeah.
And then he will be there. Just like you walking yeah. to that spot. Like, you got to yeah. step to the spot. And then the intersection of the Holy Spirit coming from heaven and yeah. striking earth can Dude. Happen.
So real.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I know that it is uncomfortable sometimes when you don't know people, but, like, what's wrong with being uncomfortable?
Mm.
Like, what is going to happen to you that's mm-hmm. so bad?
Mm. And sometimes...
Try it.
Sometimes there is things that were so bad that did happen. And I think your word remember... like, remember the faithfulness, remember the goodness. And in those memories are also some hard things that
yeah.
want to fight for space in your brain.
Yeah. Spiritual warfare.
And if we just remember who wins in the end, like you mm-hmm. keep talking about this eternal perspective, the mm-hmm. only thing you can take with you,
yeah,
everything else will fade away. Like, it's so hard in the moment. I just was reading something and it said, in those moments when you just can't even... pray, like you don't even want to, you know, you felt that, I'm sure, like me, yeah. like me too, right? Like, oh, I can't even battle right now. I'm so tired from being chased mm-hmm. by this lion who wants to devour me.
Yeah.
I'm so tired. I don't even want to let God into this moment. And then this thing had said, like, that's when you pray twice as much. Like, and by planting that into my mind, I'm like, okay, I recognize this now as something, if I'm feeling weak, then I need to doubly pray wow. in this time.
Yeah, and even when we can't think of the words, I think the very name of God is in our breath, Yahweh.
Yeah.
So just breathe. Just breathe him in and out. Like, he knows your heart anyway. You don't have to use words.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just be silent if you need to. But, like, inviting God into that space or just acknowledging that he's there,
mm-hmm.
I think is really helpful.
It is. And in time, those things will settle, and then you'll see.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can see it sometimes when you're on the other side, but I think the more clarity you can have in those moments of listening and being obedient to what you hear, you can have it even then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A college roommate of mine, we used to love the movie 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, yeah.
I say used to as though that's past uh-huh. tense. It's present tense, okay?
I saw it last weekend.
It's on Netflix now. but there's this quote where the one girl says, you can be overwhelmed and you can be underwhelmed. Can you ever just be whelmed? And so we always joke about that. And she texted me the other day and said, I realize that what the 40s is about is being whelmed.
Oh,
and that's kind of what you're saying, this freedom. Like, she's not overwhelmed. She's not underwhelmed. She's just whelmed.
Right.
And within that is peace and freedom to then do these things that, like, these unlocked doors that you're talking about. And like, people can think, like, oh, 40s. Like, mm-hmm. it's a wonderful time.
Yeah.
For me, at least, it sounds like it is for you as well.
Yeah, I'm turning 40 this year or next year. So, yeah, it's a time to, like, give back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even think it's an age. It's a season of life. Like, wherever
fair.
You are.
That's fair.
You know, we all have day jobs and whatever that, like, looks like for everyone. But if you have, like, capacity, and everybody's different. I know that. Mm-hmm. I have, like, a low capacity.
Which really? Is
for, like, yeah, if I have a full schedule, I get really overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, to be able to just, like, be used mm-hmm. by God and maybe just, like, I love the 20-year-old, like, age group. Like, those mm-hmm. girls, like, 16 to, like, 22. Like, those girls are so sweet. And to be able to just, like, be around them
mm-hmm.
and hang out and love on them is, like, my favorite thing.
Mm.
And hopefully they gather something from me. Like, mm-hmm. even if I'm just, like, a house that is warm and, like, has food for them. Like, mm-hmm. come to my house and... I'm not being creepy. Like, my daughter's friends come over. Like,
right.
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But also, like, I was able to be a leader at one of the women's retreats recently. Mm-hmm. And, like, I had a couple of young girls mm-hmm. in my group.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I mean, they also poured into me. Like,
yes.
they were so amazing. And I just never felt like one of them got baptized.
Mm.
And I remember turning around and seeing her in line. And, like, she was right in front of my face. And I just, like, held her little face. I've never felt more motherly towards someone that I've known for 36 hours. Like, I wept with her, and I was so proud of her, and just, like, knowing what God was doing in her life and about to do, and mm-hmm. it was just so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a really special time. And a lot of these girls are light years ahead of where I was at their age.
Can you imagine knowing what we know now at 16, 17, 18?
Oh, so different. Mm. It's amazing.
There's so much, there's so much like opportunity there. And I love that reciprocity of like, oh, I'm leading you, but you're actually leading
me. Still getting some out. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
I love these spaces you're stepping into for attending studies, but then also leading studies and getting into, you know, leading women as well.
It's an honor. I mean, as long as God will keep allowing me to do these types of things, like I'm growing so much. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, I don't know. I just feel like it's such a gift. Mm-hmm. And I am like getting filled up.
Mm-hmm. I know it feels so a little selfish. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh, this is so good for me, but I'm also giving to others. And I think that's such a sweet spot to be in. Yeah. It doesn't mean you have to be sacrificial and burdened and underwater.
It's that doesn't feel right.
No, that's not what God
wants. And I'm too selfish to allow that.
Like, and sometimes there's help in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
the power of saying no.
Yeah, I'm really good at saying no.
Oh, I'm terrible at saying no.
If I don't want to do something, you'll know.
Well, thanks for being here.
But, man, I just pray that, like, when I open my mouth, that God is the one who's speaking. Mm. Like, and again, human, right? Selfish. Flat. Like, I'm a terrible person. Mm. I can be. Mm-hmm. I can be super self-righteous and feisty and prideful. Mm-hmm. And it's like I have to constantly be like, okay, where is this coming from? Like, can you please help me with this? Can you please like cover this for me? Because I'm going to fail and I'm going to like blow up relationships and I'm going to hurt people. Mm-hmm. And so I just need Jesus so much.
Amen.
Oh.
Period.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that you're in this space, you're whelmed. So hopes and dreams for the future, you know, what do you see on the horizon?
I don't think I really think about that very often. Mm.
Well, and it sounds like the cushions are being revealed one at a time, so you're just open to that. Maybe that's your future, is keeping a nearsightedness because you know that God has the long-term
control. Just thinking about being really content with how things are and knowing that like goodness is not promised and easy life is not promised, but that when the hard things do happen, I know where to go.
Because for those who seek him, he does work things together for good. You know, it's easy to say like he works things together for good and forgetting the part of for those who seek and are pursuing him and are sacrificing for him and doing our portion of that relationship, he is faithful to us.
Yep.
Well, there's a lot of points that you've brought up here that could be relatable to our audience. So you've said it multiple times, but if anybody wants to talk with you, I know that you'd be open to that your time and your, you know, like coffee dates or anything like that. So if anybody's listening and they want to talk to Holly specifically, or just anybody at the church, of course, is willing and able to talk through these things, we have an email address. You can write to us at unscripted@graceohio.org. So if you reach out to that email address, we'll get you in touch with Holly, with me, with somebody on staff. So feel free to reach out to us there. Do you have a song, Holly, to add to our unscripted playlist? When I think of you, I definitely think of worship. I feel like music.
That's very nice.
Well, let me say this. I feel like music is a big thing for you. I can't even believe that Miss Mariah's name hasn't even come up yet.
Do we have more time?
Does she have any worship songs you want to add to the?
Actually, she does have a few, but I'm not going to share any of those. So real quick, I want to just talk about one more thing. So,
please do.
God has been revealing a lot of things to me in the last few years, and one of those things is, like, what I absorb, like, entertainment. Mm. So I don't think this is blanket statement for all believers by any means, but recently God has told me to only listen to worship music. Mm-hmm. Like, if he's not in it, why am I bothering? Like, I don't even think I can explain it properly. Yeah. Because I do love Mariah, but like, and she just came out with a new album, which I sadly have to say it's not my favorite, which, sorry if she's listening, but.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, just let me have my thoughts, okay? But, especially in my house, so I have young kids, they're 5 and 7, and sometimes I'll hear them singing, like, Holy Forever, Your Way's Better, like, if that's going to be in, if there's going to be a song in your mind, mm-hmm. in your heart, in your, on your tongue, mm-hmm. don't you want it? Like, wouldn't I want that to be worship music? Mm-hmm. And God has just like given me this like distaste for anything else. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's, I don't know if it's going to last forever. I'm not saying like, mm-hmm. I'm never going to listen to other music again, but mm-hmm. for now, God has said to me like, that's not for you mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. And it's been like really cool. Like, I'm learning a lot. So anyway, your question, the mighty name of Jesus, I think it's Hope Darst.
Okay, tell
that me would more. Be my ad to the Spotify.
Tell me what the lyrics tell us.
There's a line, I think it's the second verse, she says, I draw a permanent boundary line. The enemy has no right to come near my family.
What?
I mean.
Yeah, that's your song.
Yeah.
You could have written that song.
It's so powerful.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's that one would of you them. Sing around your home over your family?
Yeah, it's one of them.
Absolutely. Yeah. I completely agree with that. There's so many times I wake up in the morning. There's this one song that's so often stuck in my head. I don't even know who sings it, but it's like, I'm about to have a good day in every single way.
And it's kind of
like, yeah, it's kind of like a poppy thing. And it's just stuck in my head.
It's a good song.
And you know, it repeats. And and you're like not even paying attention. Yes. But then you're like, well, what's in my mind right now?
Right.
I'm about to have a good day.
That's right. It gets into your mind mm-hmm. without, it's so subconscious. Mm-hmm. Out of the and overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Like, that's what's going to come out of you. So why not put into yourself?
Yeah. And if that lyric is darkness, if that lyric is, it's not even like.
It's neutral, too.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It doesn't even have to be dark. It can just be not bright, not from God. Like, if you have the opportunity to fill it with scripture-based lyrics that are helping you to memorize the Bible in a way. There's a super cool website, if you've never heard of it, the Berean Test, I think.
Like and the old store, Berean?
Well, yes. I mean, I'm sure they take that word from the same thing, but it is a guy who takes worship songs and then, like, dissects them and relates them to the Bible. Like, this lyric here is coming from this verse.
That's
and
cool.
So then if you're singing a song and you're like, why did they say this? Then I go to the Berean Test and I'll see if it's in there. And then you can see, like, oh my gosh, this song is pulling from this scripture and these lyrics that I love are coming from this part. And it'll even say like, this worship song actually isn't really based on the Bible and here's why, like in some cases.
Yeah, send me that.
But it's really cool. So anybody that's into worship music and wanting to like go deeper there, there's some opportunities like that. I think you can really study some worship songs and, or like I'm reading through the Psalms and I'm like, oh my gosh, these...
Yes, and you think of songs that you know. You're like,
they're
oh, that's where it came
from.
They're
just coaching the Bible, which is exactly what you want them to be doing. But it's so funny that you can relate. And then, in Rick Perrin's episode, which if you haven't heard that, listeners, definitely rewind and or go back to Rick Perrin's episode. He talked about a version of the Bible called the Filament Bible, and it has this QR code. Have you heard of this?
Yeah.
And you can scan it, and if you're reading... Like, whatever part you're reading, there's a button that says, here's worship songs related to this scripture.
Cool.
So you can go the other way direction as well. So
that's
pretty cool.
I read his 1 year through the Bible. I won't say how long it took me. It was not a year. But yeah.
But you, if you did it, then that's
that's
good. That's like a steadfastness that,
good,
that not everybody has done.
I would call it
done.
A devotional, but so like a guide.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Whew. Anything else that's on the tip of your tongue that you want to make sure our listeners know?
Can I tell you about you for a second?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. So I know a lot of people at Grace, and there's just like a handful, maybe even like less than three families who have demonstrated hospitality so well. Mm-hmm. And I just want to tell you that you and Gary have been just like over the years so good at that and such a great example. Mm-hmm. of that to the rest of us. Mm. So I just wanted to give you a little shout out for that.
Thank you. You're all invited to come over.
I know we are. Yeah. Yeah, you guys have. I remember, I think it was Gary, might have been you, saying to me once that, you know, when you guys moved into your house, that you were just like so thankful for it and you just wanted to share it. And like you wanted to hold it with an open hand because God gifted it to you and you... wanted to like let him use it and you have done that, like you put your money where your mouth is and you've been doing that and it's been incredible.
I could talk for days about God's faithfulness in that way, and
I bet it's
not easy always either because we have our own battles, but I mean just seeing how he, like, I guess it's kind of like you stepping into that spot by the birds, like he said move here and just look around.
Yeah.
And then he, like, has blessed that in ways that we just know it's his work, not ours. We just can create the space for it and then, like, let him work. And then drawing other people into that to help as coworkers in that as well. And I think it's all in that obedience, you know? Yep. Like, taking the gifts that, saying this isn't mine, this is yours, this daughter's not mine, this home is not mine, I give it all to you and I trust you with it. Because like you're saying, it's not our home that will last forever, it'll burn. But the relationships that occur there that make space for someone to know Jesus, to be in eternity together.
Yep.
Like, that's the
goal.
You're
doing it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Father.
Yep.
Thanks for everything that you do for us, too. Well, this has been an awesome one.
Yeah,
thanks so much
for
sharing, going to the dark spaces and adding the light and sharing everything that's in your heart.